On this fifth and final Sunday of Lent, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please read together with me today's sermon written upon the screen. Hide not your face. As usual, Ewald did a wonderful job in finding a slide that's just perfect. Our text, again, our continuing sermon series on Psalm 51, verses 9 and 10. Listen to what David says. O Lord, hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Again, our theme, hide not your face. Well, if you don't want to see somebody for any reason, some people say a good strategy is to avoid them. If you see them coming, go the other way. If you know it's a place they hang out, then avoid that place. Some people say, depending on how strongly you feel about not seeing them, you might even want to ask them not to see you. That is, if they see you coming, you ask them ahead of time to go another way. Well, King David, after his great transgressions and sins, which included coveting another man's wife, committing adultery with her, and having her husband put to death, David, and rightfully so, had a heavy and guilty, terrible conscience. David knew that he could not hide from God, for that's impossible. Did you hear me? God says you can run, but you can't hide. But David also knew that nothing is impossible for God. If David couldn't avoid God, maybe God would be willing to avoid him and to hide his face. Therefore, in our text, in his desperate situation, David prays, "Hide your face from my sins." Perhaps if God didn't look at him, David might feel better about himself. However, as I'm sure almost as every one of us has discovered in life, avoidance. And here's one of the key themes of our text today. Avoidance is never a long-term solution to conflict. If you've been working hard to avoid someone with whom you've had a grievance for any length of time, you must be exhausted. Sooner or later, you're going to run into them again. Avoidance only puts off the inevitable. When David prayed to God, he asked God to hide his face from him. But David also realized this was no long-term solution. Eventually, David would meet his maker. And guess what? We all do. We all will meet our maker, that is. Either on the day we die or the day that Christ comes back and brings back judgment day. Since encountering God is inevitable, it's a much better to meet up with Him sooner than it is later. We want to deal with God over the fault and guilt of our sins long before the day of judgment. This is why David in this psalm seems to slightly change his prayer from "Hide your face from my sins" to, better yet, "Blot out my iniquities." You see, getting rid of the guilt of sin is much better than avoidance. Did the Lord agree? Yes, He did. He is the one who sent the prophet Nathan to David to reproach him and bring David to repentance. Why do you think Sunday, after the first hymn, what's the next thing that we do? Say it, Mary. The confession of sins. Instead of avoiding our sins, we face up to God and say, "This is who I am. This is what I've done. Blot out my sins. And God, for Jesus' sake, through your pastor, like Nathan came to David, is pleased to announce to you the absolution or forgiveness for a repentant heart." David confessed. And through the pastor God sent to Nathan, extent of David, the prophet Nathan, David was in fact forgiven. Nathan, in God's name, in effect, blotted out David's iniquities. Now think about that. Blotting out your iniquities. Is that even possible? It is possible. And follow my fingers now. It is possible because of your dear and precious Lord Jesus Christ. While on the cross, do you know what happened to Jesus? While on the cross, God the Father chose to hide his face from his Son. God chose to hide his face from Jesus. That is why Christ cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" As Christ was bearing the filth and the guilt, the revolting sins of all the world, God the mighty Father turned his back, turned his face against his Son. He hid his face from Jesus. And Jesus endured it all, the suffering, the pain, the abuse, the death, to pay for the sins of the world, to pay for your sins, thank God, and for mine. But can the blood of Jesus forgive all sins? We might make better sense how the blood of Christ can blot out some minor sins. You know, a few bad thoughts, the odd hurtful word, or a couple of nasty deeds. But are you telling me today, God Almighty, are you telling us today that you can forgive an adulterer like David? To answer this, let's fast forward from the time of David to the time of Jesus and see if Jesus forgave any adulterers. One comes to mind. A certain woman caught in the very act of adultery, brought before Jesus for a ruling in the temple. We learn about this event in John chapter 8. It's on your sermon outline. The text tells us that one morning Jesus was at the temple teaching God's people, and some religious leaders brought to him a woman caught in the act of adultery. Listen to what the text says. John 8, the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery. They said to him, "Jesus, this woman has been caught in the very act. Now in the law of Moses, we are commanded to stone such women. What do you say?" John tells us this. They said this only to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. You see, they didn't care about the woman. They were out to get Jesus. But Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, "Shall we stone her? Shall we stone her?" Jesus stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you throw the first stone." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one. Listen to what John says, beginning with the older ones, because they had more common sense than the younger ones. And soon Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Now you may be thinking, fine, Jesus got rid of those self-righteous religious leaders for the sake of the woman. But can a woman like this be forgiven? Indeed, because the text continues, Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, my Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more." Jesus was able to blot out her sin, which means Jesus was able to blot out David's sin. Now, are you listening? Which means God is able to blot out your sin. Whatever it is. Are you listening carefully this morning? If God could blot out the woman's sin, if God could blot out David's sin, whatever sin or brokenness you bring here today, your Jesus says to you, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin." Through faith in Christ, and trusting in his crucifixion and resurrection, on our behalf, what he's done for us, we are free to face Almighty God on Judgment Day. And we can proclaim that wonderful third verse of the hymn, Rock of Ages, "Oh God, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. So does that mean we can continue in sin? Does that mean we can go on our merry way without a care or concern and just sin after sin because we know God will forgive us? Not at all. Remember what Jesus said to the woman after he forgave her. He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin." She was to put now her former ways behind her. And so was David. You see, it's the love of God through Christ and the forgiveness of our sins that compel us to say, "I no longer want to live like that. I get to live a whole new life." Right here in these words of Jesus to the woman, we hear the most classic example of the foundation of our Lutheran faith, the law and the gospel. The gospel, "Neither I condemn you," but now the law, "Now go and leave your life of sin." We need both. We need both. Now David knew that leaving his life of sin would be easier said than done. Maybe there's something you're struggling with this morning. Maybe you're saying, "God, please hide your face from my sins," or, "God, don't look at me." Because when God looks at you, you get the shocked expression little Ethan did. Oh, my. David knew it would be easier said than done. He would need God's help. That's why in this psalm, he continued his prayer with these words, "But create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Did you catch that? David was asking God to give him a heart transplant. He needed a new heart. And with a new heart, a new spirit, which means that now with the Spirit of God living in him, with a new heart of flesh created by faith in his Savior, David would be strong to live victorious over sin. My friends, when we pray to God, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me," God is pleased to answer this prayer. He is pleased to answer this prayer for David. He is pleased to answer this prayer for the woman of John 8. He's pleased to answer this prayer for us today. He wants to remove our sinful, stony hearts and replace them with a brand new heart of flesh. Listen to what Ezekiel 36 says about the same thing. Listen carefully. God says in Ezekiel 36, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I'll remove your old heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and you will be able to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my commands." Praise God that even today, for Jesus' sake, Almighty God desires to create in us clean hearts and new spirits so that we can leave our life of sin and praise our Savior with our lives. Now, David, what happened to him? He returned to the Lord with a new heart. And in fact, after blotting out his sins and giving him a new heart, listen to what God says about David on the day of David's death. It's recorded in 1 Kings 14. Think about who David was and what he had done in his life. But because God created a new man, listen to what God says about him. God doesn't say, "Here's David, that sinner and murderer and adultery. He should hide his face from me. He should be terribly ashamed of what he's done." No, listen to what God says about David on his deathbed. 1 Kings 14:8. "This is my servant David. He kept my commandments. He followed me with his heart, doing which was right in my eyes." Oh my goodness. Did the same thing happen with a woman caught in adultery? Many Bible scholars think that this woman caught in the act of adultery was really Mary Magdalene, who became a disciple of Jesus. And without a doubt, she served Jesus with all her heart, even to his death and burial, because Mary Magdalene was one of the women who ran to Jesus' tomb on Easter to anoint his body, only be told by the angels, "He is not here, he is risen." Mary Magdalene. Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Became a disciple of Jesus and went to attend to him in that tomb and was the first person in the world to hear, "He is risen." What an honor for her. What an honor for sinners like you and me. Well, then there's you and me. How you write the story of your new life is in part up to you. You are forgiven through Christ. He has given you a clean slate. With the Spirit's help, who now lives inside of you, you can make your life a good story in which Jesus Christ can be praised. So we end our sermon with this final thought. My dear friends, whom our Lord loves with an everlasting love, don't hide from God. No more games of peekaboo or hide and seek. Don't ask God to hide from you either. But like David, ask God to blot out and forgive all your sins, asking him to create a new heart and new spirit within you. It will be his pleasure to do so. And so today, we pray with King David. O Lord, blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. My friends, there is now no need for anyone here to hide their faces anymore. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, Amen.